case will be taken under advisement. We'll move to case 5, United States against Hernandez.
Good morning, Your Honor. Excuse me. Good morning. If it pleases the court, my name is Kenneth Saffold, and I represent the interest of the appellant, Mr. Hernandez. In the time that we have allotted, we'd like very much, at least I'd like very much, to spend time dealing with the first two issues raised. And while we have raised the issue of the career offender status, I understand the overwhelming evidence, and while I'm not discarding that as a as an appeal issue, we will simply rest upon the brief that we've prepared. In this case, Your Honor, excuse me, can I? I've been suffering from allergies. Could you just get a little water?
Certainly.
I apologize.
Help yourself. Don't worry about it. Give you a little time. Don't worry. Getting to be that time of year.
You'll notice our cups are not conducive to taking up here with you because they don't.
Do you want to set down? Do you want here? Okay.
Well, let me apologize. Profusely for this.
We've got to get, by the way, some round bottom cups here.
Your Honor, in this case, Mr. Hernandez pled guilty on March 13th to count one, a conspiracy to distribute in excess of 500 grams of methamphetamine in violation of 21 United States Code 841A1 and 846. At the time of his plea, in front of Her Honor Judge Crabb, he admitted to every salient fact giving rise to that conviction. He indicated, first of all, that he was involved in the conspiracy. He mentioned that he made multiple trips from Minneapolis, Minnesota, to Superior, Wisconsin, with an individual by the name of Mr. Gonzalez, and that he indicated that he knew that what he was taking was a controlled substance. He indicated, however, that he did not know what type of controlled substance it was, but a controlled substance, indeed, he knew that what he was carrying.
Mr. Saffold, aren't we zeroing in on the question whether the trial court clearly erred when she decided that he was the supervisor as opposed to the follower? And if that's where we're going, and I realize it's one of the issues you've raised. Why isn't the district court entitled to believe the testimony of Mr. Gonzalez and Mr. Orr and what she can perceive from the videotape, which, by the way, is the videotape in the record?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
It is, Your Honor.
I have not looked at it.
Let me go first to the record, Your Honor, because I think it's very important that the court looks at the videotape. The videotape is conducted in English. Mr. Hernandez, the appellant in this case, speaks only Spanish, and so the conversations that existed or primarily and at the hearing before Judge Crabb, the videotape was not transcribed, essentially meaning that there was no dialogue, or at least a following of what was being said by either of the parties. And so Judge Crabb was unable to attribute any comments about what was going on to Mr. Hernandez.
Can you actually see him on the tape?
You can, in fact, see him, and what you see is consistent with what Mr. Hernandez's position was throughout these proceedings, and that is that he was actually hired by Mr. Gonzalez to act as an enforcer. Mr. Hernandez was an imposing man, less than perhaps 5'10", and weighing perhaps over 250 pounds. And his position throughout was that Mr. Gonzalez had hired him to go along with him on these trips to act as an enforcer. But there is nothing to suggest, however, that he did anything beyond that. In fact, the tape recordings will show that following the arrest, and this was a prearranged bus where Mr. Orr, who set this up, and perhaps at least in many of our regards was perhaps the most culpable, was not charged at all. But that notwithstanding, Mr. Orr set this up. Mr. Gonzalez did all of the talking. Mr. Gonzalez and my client, Mr. Hernandez, counted the money. But when they left, Mr. Gonzalez had the money and, in fact, tried to elude police by throwing the money away. But there is nothing to suggest, at least on the part of Mr. Orr, who set this up, that he based his perception that Mr. Hernandez was a leader based upon only that, a perception, that once he would have a conversation with Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. Gonzalez would then turn and then ask Mr. Hernandez, which was in fact consistent, excuse me, Your Honor, which was in fact consistent with the view followed by Mr. Hernandez throughout these proceedings. Moreover, in the travels from Minneapolis to Superior, Wisconsin, the record suggested that the vehicle used on each of those occasions was the vehicle owned by Mr. Gonzalez. The record also showed that that vehicle had a secret compartment that law enforcement conceived, or at least perceived, could be used as a hidden compartment for drugs. And so the evidence, and based upon those facts, Your Honor, I think it stretches credulity to imagine that a basis could be made upon Mr. Hernandez being a leader, when in fact the only statement that could be attributed to him as a leader was that from Mr. Gonzalez, who had every incentive whatsoever to embellish his testimony. Mr. Gonzalez spoke English. Mr. Orr spoke English. When Mr. Gonzalez was arrested, he immediately got a public defender. He immediately worked out a deal, and he was never charged federally. And as a result of that, there was a clear basis for him to continue to embellish his testimony. But I think that since the court has asked about the tape, I think that the tape is striking because of what it does not show. It does not show, for example, any statements by my client, which was before the court. It does not show my client with any drugs. It does not show my client with any money. In fact, the money that was there, which was $10,000, was in the hands of his co-defendant, Mr. Gonzalez. I should also point out...
Does he speak on the tape?
I'm sorry?
Does Hernandez speak on the tape?
He speaks on the tape, but he speaks to Gonzalez, and he speaks in English, and that was not transcribed before the court.
In Spanish, you mean?
It was in Spanish. It was in Spanish, so the court did not have the benefit of the English.
Did the defense, did anybody transcribe it or say what he said?
It was transcribed, I believe, but it was not transcribed, and before that transcription was not before the court at the time that the tape was entered at the sentencing hearing.
So Judge Kraft saw the tape?
Saw the tape.
Didn't know what
spoke Spanish, and there's nothing in the record to suggest that she did anything other than observe the tape. And the tape is consistent with the view of Mr. Hernandez, that is, that he was there simply as an interpreter. He would nod, and there were some statements that he made, but those statements were all in English. And I think that one other thing, Your Honor, to consider, we are completely aware of the cases in the Seventh Circuit that allows the court to reject acceptance of responsibility. In this instance, however, we should point out that we had an agreement, or at least we thought we had an agreement, in light of the evidence that they had, that the government would concur with acceptance of responsibility. And as a result of that shift, that is, the adding of 2 points for being a supervisor and the adding of the additional points for rejecting the acceptance of responsibility, his time jumped by more than 100 months. And I see the light has come on, and I'll save my additional time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Zeck. Mr. Elke.
Good morning, Your Honors. Stephen Elke on behalf of the United States in this case, and I was the counsel in the district court as well. In terms of the acceptance of responsibility, even if everything that Mr. Saffeldt said were true, which I don't believe for a minute, but even if that were the case, there is two views of the evidence, and Judge Crabb articulated the reasons that she felt that acceptance of responsibility was not warranted, which is the flip side, in a way, of the supervisory question under...
Well, the guidelines, of course, say that the defendant doesn't have to fess up to the relevant conduct. He's entitled to the acceptance of responsibility benefit, even though he chooses to contest that. Now, this isn't relevant conduct, as I understand it. This is a question of a leadership enhancement. But why isn't that of the same genre as relevant conduct.
I don't believe that it is a relevant conduct situation in this case, Your Honor. This is part
well,
of the
why offense. Isn't it, why should for this purpose, why isn't it very similar to that?
Well, he's directly denying what I believe to be the offense of conviction conduct, and that is the conspiracy to continue to bring the methamphetamine up to Mr. Orr, who then gives them money for the methamphetamine he had sold the week before. So I think the district court correctly concluded that Mr. Hernandez, in this case, was directly denying his role in the offense and was not admitting to his culpability and his role in the offense.
He's trying to contest that he had the leadership role, and I guess that's why Judge Cuddy's asking what he did. It's sort of a double or nothing situation for him. If he can convince Judge Crabb that he really wasn't the leader, that he's just some enforcer for Gonzalez, then he also would continue to get his acceptance of responsibility adjustment. But if he fails to convince her of that and she sees it the other way, then he gets both enhancements, or in a sense, he doesn't get the reduction for acceptance of responsibility. So he really has to gamble everything, doesn't he?
That may be true, Your Honor.
But why can she make an intelligent decision about his role if there is no record of what Mr. Hernandez actually said on this videotape?
Well, it's a little more nuanced than that, Your Honor, and the reason that the I double-checked to make sure that tape was part of the record and came up to the court, and I believe it should be part of the record.
Okay.
I made a decision, or it was decided not to transcribe the tape, because if you do watch the tape, you'll see that there will be a question put, for example, from Mr. Orr to the two other gentlemen, and every time Mr. Gonzalez will translate, and you hear Mr. Orr speaking in English, so it's not as if the court doesn't understand what the context of the conversation is.
But you don't have half, I mean, there's transcription, which I presume would be a mixture of English and Spanish, and then there's translation, which would be to make sure that everybody's on the same page in terms of the substance of what's being said. And it's, as far as I know, not everyone was fluent in Spanish, so some people involved in this case at least didn't know what was being said, right?
That's
true. I mean, I don't know whether you speak Spanish, but some people do, some don't, you know.
That's true. When you see the tape, like I said, you'll hear parts in English, and then you'll see Mr. Gonzalez, the younger one, turn to Mr. Hernandez. They do speak in Spanish, and I admit, Your Honor, that there is not a translation of that. The conversations are not long. What will happen is Mr. Hernandez will then speak to Mr. Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez will then turn to Mr. Orr and speak in English, saying what Mr. Hernandez told him. It's true there's not a transcript, but you'll also see when you watch the tape, Mr. Hernandez does not, you know, step in and try to correct him or anything. I mean, they know what's going on.
But how could you? I mean, I've sat in meetings where we've had consecutive translation in Japanese. They could be saying anything. They could be reading the phone book. I wouldn't know if they were translating what I said right.
I suppose, but at some point you're going to know the conversation is not following a logical sequence. Most of what they're saying is, because I admit, Your Honor, that you're right.
How can you correct it if you don't speak
right.
English?
When you watch the tape, though, you'll see that it is, in my opinion, and I think Judge Crabb correctly concluded, Mr. Hernandez is clearly in control. Much of the conversation on the tape does not deal specifically with drug transaction or dealing, but has to do with obtaining a gun, perhaps, in the future, and they're talking about obtaining a gun. In terms of the money, you'll see on the tape, and it's very clear, both men are counting out the money and making sure, or counting out how much money there is. Mr. Gonzalez testified that Mr. Hernandez told him to carry the money out as they're leaving. It's also significant, and it's obvious, but I think it's worth stating, that when this tape is being made, there's some comment about embellishment or a motive to testify or exaggerate your role or diminish your role before Judge Crabb. Obviously, when the tape is being made, no one knows that they're about to be arrested, of course, except Mr. Orr, and so there would be no incentive. They're just acting completely naturally in terms of what their respective roles were in terms of this situation. And again, I would just remind the court, as I know you're well aware, that it is a clear error standard, and certainly Judge Crabb did not make a mistake in her conclusion. There is sufficient and more than sufficient evidence to support her finding that acceptance of responsibility was not warranted. Unless the court has any questions about the other two issues, the government has nothing further to add at this time.
Apparently not. Thank you very much. Mr. Saffold, you've still got a little time. Okay. A minute and 20 seconds.
Thank you very much. Your Honor, if it pleases the court, counting money is not an indication of a leadership role. In this instance, as the court looks at the tape, Mr. Hernandez does in fact count the money, but that does not do anything other than suggest that he knows how to count money, not to lead an organization of some sort with respect to drugs. Regarding the notion and the issue of his denial of the facts, he admitted to having drugs, being involved with others in the distribution of that drug, and admitting and acknowledging his culpability. I mean, I don't know if there was anything else that he could do. He admitted to being a part of the conspiracy. And so he's now forced to, after admitting that, to saying that he had to admit something else, that he was somehow a leader of the organization, to first of all get the benefit of acceptance of responsibility and, in fact, get an upward adjustment for being a leader, which is, I think, goes beyond the realm of flexibility. He admitted to what he did. He made a calculation and a decided decision to move forward and plead guilty and not go before a jury. He did that, and I think that this court should give him the benefit of the bargain and allow an acceptance of responsibility adjustment. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. And you were appointed as well, were you not, Mr. Teffold? We appreciate it very much. Thank you. And thanks, Mr. Elka, as well.